On a Monday, we're checking in with the Chief State Forester on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Our state is nearly half forest land, about 17 million acres, and of that, roughly two-thirds is privately owned. That's from the DNR's Statewide Forest Action Plan. Join in on policy actions that would help Wisconsin achieve sustainable forestry, or how the state could be a better partner in helping landowners manage forest land. 800-642-1234. Heather Berkland is Chief of the Forestry Division for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Heather, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's start with our climate. Our climate changing, winter's getting warmer, our forests are forced to adapt. What effect is climate change having on our forest land in Wisconsin?
Yes, well, obviously, changing climate has been around for decades, and actually, with us sustainably managing and having a long, rich history of sustainable management here in Wisconsin, our forests are actually poised to be successful and adapt to some of the evolution with climate. Obviously, it is something that we continue to make sure that we're aware of and that we're in a position so that we can make sure that we have a healthy forest. And so continuing to have programs where we can work with landowners, also with our public lands, actively encouraging management in a sustainable manner, having a forest industry and products so that we can get wood to the market, so that we can regenerate our forests so that they do stay healthy and adapt, and having programs in place that also can combat invasive species, as that is also increasing with some of the changing climate. Our urban forests are also really important in making sure that we have canopy cover in our urban forests. Stormwater runoff, trees play a really important role there, as well as, clean air. And then just all the other plethora of benefits that forests provide.
We're going to get to some of the pests and the diseases in a moment. But when you talk about programs, I'm thinking of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. Last year during the state budget process, Republican lawmakers voted to renew the state's land stewardship program for 4 years. What impact is that program having on our forest land?
It's really important that we have programs like this, as well as Forest Legacy, which is a federal program, to really be able to set aside large blocks and important acreage here in Wisconsin for all the benefits of the public, as well as maintaining them into working forests. So critical, these conservation easements ensure that we will be able to conserve large blocks of forests as part of our contiguous management here in the state.
There was that legislation put forth earlier this year that would have made it easier to sell off public lands purchased with Knowles Nelson stewardship funds. And current law prohibits the sale of Knowles Nelson lands without DNR approval from your agency. Do you think it should be easier for grant recipients to divest of land they no longer want to hold in conservation?
I'm not going to comment on that. I think our program doesn't necessarily work specifically in that. We're obviously wanting to make sure that we educate landowners and the public on why we want to conserve blocks of land and why we want to maintain these acreages. And so I think that's really a role that we play.
And I would imagine there isn't a one-size-fits-all fix for making forests more resilient to climate change. So how does your agency approach conservation and forest management when so much is held privately? So much of this forest land is in private hands.
Yeah, we feel that our role, again, is working in partnership. So many partners out there that we can collaborate with and ensure that we are reaching private landowners. We have programs where you can go online and seek out one of our field foresters, our service foresters that can connect with a landowner. And just the opportunities to walk the land, to educate what is out on the that you have in your, the woodland lands that you own. We can write management plans. that kind of prepare based on landowner objectives. And then there are some cost share programs, both at the federal level and our state Wisconsin Forest Landowner Grant Program, that help landowners kind of achieve some of their goals, whether it's tree planting, invasive species control, or just having, like I said, a management plan. And to the point where we can also work with our private consultants, that they can also help actively manage the private landowners' properties as well. And so having those educational opportunities, putting on workshops with the partners, just having landowners and the public understand the importance of our forest industry and the health of our forests is one of the critical roles that we play.
Talking with Heather Berkland, Chief Forester for the Wisconsin DNR, getting an update on land conservation, forest land initiatives. You can join in 800-642-1234. And Heather, I think you kind of made a nod to this, but the DNR oversees this program that gives property tax breaks to private landowners who manage their forests sustainably and provide public access. Is the program meeting its goals?
Yes, it still is a highly recognized program, the Managed Forest Law Program here in the state. It's a very unique program that's been around for decades, and it does connect landowners with a professional. Like I said, for a 25 or 50 year period, they have a management plan that they can follow based on their objectives. And we are still seeing much enrollment in that program, and it really is an important program. Like I said, to make sure that we do have acreage that's still healthy and actively managed here in Wisconsin.
This is also the 40th year the DNR is celebrating Arbor Day by distributing thousands of seedlings to fourth graders in Wisconsin schools. And I know I've had a couple fourth graders who have been recipients of these seedlings. Can you tell us what this program is meant to accomplish?
Yeah, it really is an exciting program, and it's our 40th year of our Arbor Day seedling program. And last year, we were able to give 45,000 seedlings to fourth graders. And really, it is that kind of recognition, connecting the youth to the importance of just what they can do to help with our conserving our landscape and conserving and planting a tree and getting their hands dirty and then watching it grow for the next generation. So it really is an exciting program. Many schools take advantage of it.
Do you have any tips for the fourth graders who are the recipients, or perhaps the households who would like some advice on how they should nurture these seedlings, where they should put them?
Yes, you want to make sure that you're thinking about the future growth of that tree. And so giving it plenty of space, knowing that it will grow. Avoid power lines, not too close to the house. And then when you do plant it, make sure that you dig a deep enough hole, because the roots will spread, and keep watering it. And then, especially during the growing season, you want to make sure that you continue to water and maintain it.
We have Wisconsin's Chief State Forester, Heather Berkland of the DNR, on the State Capitol Report. We're touching down on forest land management practices. We'll look at wildfires, invasives, conservation efforts. What's on your mind about forestry in our state? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Heather Berkland here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're checking in with the DNR's Forestry Division Chief on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The DNR's Fire Management Dashboard, it shows 39 wildfires in the past week, about 16 acres burned. Most wildfire activity is in central Wisconsin, and there have been 18 prescribed burns over the past week, mostly in state parks and natural areas. Join in on state forestry policies, forest land management, crossover with the timber industry, 800-642-1234. DNR Forestry Division Chief Heather Berkland stays with us for about 9 more minutes. So looking at wildfire activity and what you're seeing out there, Heather, what are the state of wildfires in our state?
Yes, well, it was a busy Saturday, I know, and yesterday, Sunday, with the winds. And this time of year, with our vegetation coming out of winter and dead and not in, in growing. So this is our critical time of year for fires here in Wisconsin. Compared to last year, we do have less numbers and acres of fire just because of our wetter spring that we've had, but definitely something we still want to make sure that the public is aware of and that they are going to our website and checking on the burning status and the permits to get your permit as well for burning. Important that, you know, we just recognize that debris burning is the number one cause of wildfires here in Wisconsin, and so they can be preventable. So just making sure that you're being mindful and paying attention to avoid wildfires.
How do you make decisions around prescribed burns and where to do them in order to preserve the forest land and regenerate it?
Yeah, good question. We work very closely with our partners in Fish, Wildlife, and Parks for planning. We use prescribed burning as just another tool for management on our properties. We also work in partnership with other agencies and nonprofits that are also doing some prescribed burning on their properties, and really looking holistically at the state and where historically fire helped in management on land activities, as well as how we can use fire for to improve, such as some silviculture burns, where it can combat some invasives or make sure that we're getting the vegetation and the habitat that we're desiring. So really prioritizing statewide and looking at where prescribed burn can really be a tool.
I wonder, more of our rain seems to be coming from these heavy downpour rain events, these intense bursts of extreme weather. Does that affect our forests when the water comes all at once?
Oh, yes. I think that's one of the things that has been identified in the climate is these stronger rain events more often, as well as, wind events too, and they can all have an impact, raising the water table, as well as erosion. And so having best management practices in place to make sure that our forests can be more resilient during these events is something that we're considering as we are managing our lands.
As we look at major pests and diseases hitting the forest land, certainly the emerald ash borer has really devastated ash trees, but what's challenging the health and vitality of our forest ecosystem when you look at the pests and diseases that are out there attacking it?
Yes, well, that definitely is something that's really on the forefront is it's trying to combat some of these insects, diseases, and invasive species that are taking over. And so making sure we have a healthy, holistic forest and kind of management regime really will help the landscape adapt to these. Obviously having robust industry is really important so that we can utilize some of these species that may be impacted by the death or destruction of these pests. And then making sure that we're thinking about how do we reforest in areas where they have been impacted by such pests and diseases.
Yes, when you do reforest, what goes into that decision making so that the cycle doesn't seem to repeat itself?
Yeah, making sure that we have diverse species that are adapted and suitable to the site, so the soils and the geography. We're planting the right species in the right place and making sure that we do have kind of across the landscape, diverse age classes, as well as, like I said, species. Our reforestation program is also looking at seed vitality and tree improvement. And so making sure that we have seedlings and species that can adapt to some of these changing climates that we're predicting. And so, again, that holistic approach.
I wonder as well with the in the spring with the freeze thaw cycles, what effect that's having with maple trees in climate change, and you know, to get the sap running, especially for native communities that are tapping trees. What have you seen with maple trees and maple syrup productions in the midst of climate change?
Yeah, that's interesting. We also tap some trees in our backyard, and so we did notice it was an interesting year here. The weather, you know, Mother Nature, always, you know, we can't predict her. So, you know, in some areas of the state, it was very productive, while others here in the north, because of the long drawn out spring where we would have a few days of good run and then cold again, overall, the production has been down. And so, you know, it's just like one of the many things that when you're working in nature and working with, you know, in the forest industry is the weather can play a big role in just being able to, for all of the aspects of actively management and all of the different impacts and results and products that we get from the woods.
Talking with Heather Rookland, who is the DNR's chief forester, as we look at the health and vitality of Wisconsin forest land, making up about 17 million acres of our state. You can join in 800-642-1234 with your questions about forest land. So looking at the forest land and the timber industry, the DNR works closely with the timber industry. Can you explain what is going on in this sector?
Yeah, you know, I think we all know that the timber forest products industry is really important and a vital piece of Wisconsin's forest economy at over $24 billion annually to the economy, second to agriculture. And so ensuring that we have a robust forest products industry, as well as, like I said, a healthy forest for the future. Obviously, with some of the recent challenges, COVID, as well as mill closures, you know, working in partnership to ensure we have some programs in place, potentially future federal funding to help us ensure that we have a robust industry throughout the life cycle of a tree, getting it from the growth and active management to the product that we use every day.
What have been some of those pressure points you've seen with timber and our forest land in the pandemic? What have been some of the economic issues there?
Well, one is having a market for the ability to get wood from the land to the mill, but also you know, the logging community. You know, some of the challenges there with transportation is a huge one. You know, as well as workforce development, having a future workforce in this industry is going to be critical.
Let's bring on a caller now, Jeff, joining us from Delafield. Jeff, hi, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. As a forest landowner myself, one of the biggest challenges for me is unfavorable tax laws. Agricultural land is taxed at a much, much, much lower rate, and that burden gets shifted to forest landowners, and that is resulting in elimination of forest land across the state. Obviously, you're going to remove the forests and turn it into row crops due to the favorable taxation. So I see that as one of the biggest challenges to forestry in Wisconsin, in addition to markets for forest products. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you for that comment. Heather, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I think that is something that we continue to work with our legislators on and our partners on, and just recognizing that the importance of having kind of those tax incentives, and as well as just having that equalized tax, property taxes, so that we can make sure that we keep forests as forests.
Have you seen Texas incentives that have worked to help forest land, or are there programs that you see that could help forest landowners?
Yeah, like I said, the managed forest law that we talked about earlier is a key program that can help offset taxes, you know, as well as, you know, some of the conservation easements that we talked about. And then, you know, just some of the cost share programs to
you know, help offset some of the cost to ensure that you do maintain forests through, you know, NRCS, as well as some of our state programs, Wisconsin Forest Landowner Grant Program. And so making sure that we continue to have these programs to help alleviate some of the burden that private landowners have will be critical for the future.
Heather, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, and appreciate our forests, and it is Forest Appreciation Week, so hopefully you can plant a tree, care for a tree, and then just get out and enjoy our forest land here in Wisconsin.
Heather Berkland, Chief of the Forestry Division for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We have a link to the DNR's fire management dashboards. It's at wpr.org/mornings. Ahead this hour, the State Capitol Report continues with Department of Revenue Secretary Peter Barca. In the wake of tax day 1 week ago, were you expecting a refund? Did you get it yet? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the IDS Network. On this final Monday of April, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get a read on tax collections and the status of how to check on our state refund following tax day. The State Revenue Department published its March revenue collections data Friday. We'll check that out as well. State sales tax collections showing strong continued growth compared to March last year. Corporate tax revenue was also way up last month. We'll ask about what's going on there. And get to your questions, 800-642-1234. Peter Barca is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Secretary Barca, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, Kate. Great to be back with you. Appreciate it.
Well, let's start on tax day. How, you know, a week ago, how soon should tax filers expect their refunds?
Well, assuming that they do not have any mistakes put on their form, and especially if they file electronically, normally we can turn those around within 10 days, and in most cases, even faster than that. So things have been going very smoothly this tax season. I know our tax operations staff have been very positive about things overall, and we're feeling very good, obviously. For the average Wisconsin taxpayer, it's a great year because on average we're giving $1,074 in refund checks to people. So it's a good tax year.
How can a person check the status of their filing? Is that possible?
Well, sure. We actually have. Online, you can go check the status of my tax refund. So that's, you know, something that people can always do and see where it's at in process. Or they can call our customer service helpline. If they just Google Wisconsin Department of Revenue and call in, we can give an update. But we would prefer that they not call unless it's been over a week and a half, because it does take a little while for it to process, and we don't want to flood our lines.
What typically?
If it's been a couple weeks, they should call in.
What typically would speed up or slow down that refund?
Speeding it up would be if you file electronically.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best by far, because there's much less chance of errors that way. If people file in paper, oftentimes our scanners can't pick up on those, and we have what we call people who are data validators have to go through and match up and try and decipher what the numbers are on the form, and that can slow things down. If, let's say, you forgot to include information, or if the amount of money you say you received from your employer is different from what they filed, mm-hmm. that could slow it down too. So obviously, if there's any kind of mistakes, or if you left off information, then, you know, somebody from our customer service would be calling to, you know, ask you questions, and or they would be sending you a letter. Actually, they wouldn't call you. They would send you a letter to let you know that we'd be calling you. If you get a call without a letter first, then that probably is a scam. But then we have to recontact somebody in order to get that proper information.
Do you feel you have enough staff to process returns in a timely manner?
Oh, we do. No, we had a good tax year. Every year we actually bring in limited term employees, and we're always looking for people. So if people want to work part-time during the tax season, it's harder than ever to find people these days with the workforce being really tight. But we did well overall, and our processing really could not have gone more smoothly this year.
Peter Barka with us, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. We're getting a read on tax season and looking at year-over-year growth in certain tax collection areas, what it means for the fiscal health of our state. Taking your questions as well, 800-642-1234. Let's look at those March revenue collections report that was just published Friday. Sales tax still really strong, up about 12.7% compared to March last year. Is that to be expected?
Well, that's our economists at the Department of Revenue tell us that's the best barometer of how the economy is going, looking at sales tax. So being above 12% is really a healthy place to be. But across the spectrum, Kate, we're doing extremely well in revenue. In fact, you know, we're in the best shape we've been in fiscally in more than a half century. We've got a huge surplus. And, you know, I think back to when I was elected back to the legislature in 2008, we had structural deficits as far as the eye could see. Now we have structural surpluses to the point that, you know, we're expecting to have $3.8 billion at the end of this biennium. So we're in just an extremely strong shape. The economy is going very well. The Governor Evers had planned for a Badger bounce back through sending money back that we had gotten from the federal government to help businesses and individuals and other organizations. And it's worked extremely well. So we're just feeling very positive about that.
What do you think stands out to you? What accounts for that complete total fiscal turnaround, do you think, over a little over a decade?
Well, I think there's a number of different things. I think that, you know, on a bipartisan basis, there's been efforts made to try to control our expenditures, set up a rainy day fund, which incidentally is completely full at this point. You can only have 5% of your total revenue, and that's full, and we still have an extra $3 billion. But I think the second thing was the efforts the governor made on the Badger bounce back. With the idea that we were very worried going into the recession caused by the pandemic in terms of whether or not businesses would be able to survive at the other end of the pandemic, whether individuals who were having trouble meeting rent or making student loan payments and, you know, the federal government giving stimulus dollars was very important. But then in addition to that, you know, Wisconsin was number one in the country in terms of returning those dollars to businesses and individuals and nonprofit organizations in order to get a strong Badger bounce back. And it's worked brilliantly, quite frankly. So, you know, we couldn't feel more positive about that.
Just teasing apart those March revenue collections a bit more, why are corporate taxes up about 42% year over year for March?
Well, that, you know, we are surprised at the growth in corporate revenue that it's been sustained for, you know, a number about 3 years now, that it just keeps rising, which is terrific. I think that it probably is due to a number of factors, but the more recent ones is just a reflection of the economy as a whole. The fact that, purchasing by consumers has been extremely high throughout the pandemic. And I think that certainly helps a great deal. Manufacturing, in particular, is back to employment levels preceding the pandemic. So we're actually have more people working now than we did in the beginning of the pandemic. So I think a strong economy, you know, certainly helps corporations. And we can see that that impact when you look at the more recent corporate numbers.
Do you imagine that could perhaps cool off in the future as you look at inflation being at a 40-year high and the Labor Department saying the Consumer Price Index has jumped 8.5% in the last year? What impact might inflation have?
Well, inflation will certainly have somewhat of an impact. Now, obviously, the Federal Reserve will be meeting and they're going to increase interest rates, and that will slow down the economy somewhat. I mean, that's the overall goal. You don't want to have inflation rates at 8% because that does, you know, cut into people's personal income that they have to support their family. That's part of the reason, quite frankly, Kate, why the governor called a special session. He wanted to, his goal is to return $150 to every single Wisconsinite that pays taxes, be $600 for a family of four to help them through inflation. And we think that would have a positive impact on the economy if people, you know, especially in those middle and lower middle income categories, had some assistance that would help them to get through this inflationary period until the Fed's efforts, you know, take hold and we do see inflation begin to drop to a lower level. It's stabilized at this point, but we really want to see it drop. So the governor feels very strongly that if we could come back in special session, give people that rebate, we still would have a huge surplus, but that would do something very positive about, you know, helping people through the inflationary period that we're at.
Any chance you think the legislature would do that, would come back into session to give that rebate?
Well, up until now, they've been unwilling to do that. And however, I think as they see the numbers grow in terms of the surplus, I think they may have to rethink that because obviously, you know, you don't want to sit on that type of money. I know 2 years ago in Governor Walker's last biennium as governor, he proposed a similar type strategy and the legislature, in fact, did enact that. So as these numbers grow, I think they're going to hear from their constituents and they're going to become more impatient and say, wait a second here, that's our money sitting there. It's not helping to have, you know, over a $3 billion surplus plus the rainy day fund. So you got to come back and help us out here during these tough times.
Well, circling back to that average tax filer getting $1,074 this tax season in refund, where is that the bulk of that refund coming from being triggered by? Like, what, you know, why is that size, the size of the refund?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because of a couple factors, Kate. One is that, you know, we've had big tax cuts in the course of the last biennium. The governor, of course, had proposed when he ran to give a 10% tax credit for middle-income taxpayers. That's actually been over 15%. So that helps to create part of it. And plus, personal income is up. Mm. We're seeing people making more money as well. And now we've adjusted the withholding tables, though, going forward so that people are able to keep more money, you know, in their weekly checks. But until we're but during that period, we had the income tax decreases before withholding kicked in. People were paying extra dollars into the system, and they're getting it back now in the form of a refund check. And that's why that refund checks are over $1,000. And that's a real plus for people. But also having the withholding tables cut is a plus because that means that going forward now, starting in January, people will be able to have more money available week by week. It amounts to over $550 for the average taxpayer that they'll be paying less and $1,200 for the average family of four.
Revenue Secretary Peter Barco with us on state tax collections, the financial position of our state, and return processing after tax day. Join in on Wisconsin's fiscal health, taxes, unclaimed property, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Revenue Department administers our state tax system, provides the revenue to fund state and local government services. Federal stimulus dollars help send sales tax revenue surging in the pandemic. Now with record high inflation, we're keeping an eye on that. Join in with your tax questions, 800-642-1234. Peter Barca, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, with us for about 9 more minutes. Joe is with us in Chippewa Falls with a question. Joe, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm calling about the lottery tax credit. I live with an elderly parent as a caregiver, so I do not currently live in my primary home. But I was notified by your department, therefore I need to return several hundred dollars in lottery tax credits because I'm living with an elderly parent and not living in my own home. And I believe that law was probably intended for landlords. Could you please comment?
Joe, thank you. Secretary.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. And, you know, it is intended for people's primary homes to get the lottery credit. And so if you currently don't own your own home, then unfortunately you don't qualify. But if you have a home, let's say that you are just temporarily away from, maybe there is something that we can take a look at. So I would suggest calling our customer service helpline at 608-266-2486, 608-266-2486, or Google Wisconsin Department of Revenue Customer Service, so you can get that number. But you know, if you own a home and let's say you just are away for a month or two to take care of your mother, that would be one factor. But if you sold it and you now live with her, it really goes just for the person that owns that home, generally speaking. The good news is that we've given the highest lottery property tax credit that we've given in history. Our 33 years history of the lottery, it is the highest ever.
Can you explain what it is?
38% increase.
Yeah, can you explain, give us a little context as to what this lottery property tax credit is?
Yes, absolutely, Kate. In fact, when the legislature, and I was there, it was my first term of the legislature, back in the late 80s when we passed the bill to create the lottery, the goal was to use the money that we made through the lottery, you know, over and above what we paid out in prizes and paid to retailers, to send back to help people to afford to be able to stay in their own homes in Wisconsin. And so the idea was that a credit would be given to each primary homeowner, so that you could have a credit on your bill each and every year. And so it offsets the property taxes that you have to pay. So we look at how much money we bring in and what our net is after we've paid out prizes and retailers and whatever's left there, we put into a property tax credit that the Department of Revenue we administer and send out, and it goes right in your property tax bill. So it reduces that property tax bill, you know, somewhere about $170. You know, each year. And like I said, this year was the best ever because we nearly hit $900 million in revenues this past year in the lottery. So we're on a roll. Things are going real well from that perspective.
All right. We have Jim in Ashland County called, couldn't stay with us. And Jim said that they live in a rural area, no computer access, had a really difficult time submitting their tax forms. And Jim said they waited on the phone for an hour, but said this was the first time they didn't receive the tax forms in the mail, and wanted to know if your agency, the Revenue Department, will no longer be sending tax forms by mail. And if so, Jim says it is creating access issues in rural areas that lack internet access.
Well, a couple things on that, Jim. We appreciate you calling in. And sitting in line for an hour is highly unusual. On average, when you call our customer service line, you know, our average hold time is about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So unless the computers were down that particular day, which we've only had happen about two or three times this past year, you know, you normally should never have to wait that long. And please don't ever hesitate to call back to that customer service line. And we did mail out, you know, tens of thousands of forms. So if you call our customer service line, you say you cannot have access or you cannot print them, we will mail them out, and we have. So we definitely understand people that, you know, that let's say don't have, you know, connection to the internet or don't have access to it, or maybe people who are limited incoming, you know, can't afford to have a computer or a printer. We totally understand that, and we make them available. So, you know, I'm not sure what happened in your circumstances, but don't ever hesitate to call us in that respect. Very important to us that our goal at the Department of Revenue is to be customer service friendly and to help people to comply with their taxes. And that's something we take great pride in. In fact, when you open your computer every morning, Kate, that's what you see on your screen is the values of the Department of Revenue and our goal to be customer service friendly. So the only other thing I would say to Jim, though, the good news is that in this past budget, the governor invested more in internet access than all the previous years combined. So we're working overtime to try to make that a priority for the state of Wisconsin so that, you know, people do not have that problem of internet access.
Talking with Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, Peter Barka. Let's go to Louie now in Oconto. Louie, hi, you're on with the secretary.
Hello. I have two things. One is I've been listening to the program. I think it's great to call your congressperson and also maybe even write a letter to the editor to ask for that tax cut that the governor is proposing with all that money that we're sitting on. Boy, and $600 for a family, that's huge coming into our economy. But the second thing I also want to say, so do your part, everybody, call your congressperson. But also, when I called in with my tax questions, I was amazed. Sometimes I was answered right away or within a minute or so. I'm just amazed that Wisconsin does just a fantastic job. So thank you for your great organization.
Louie, thank you for that. And Secretary, that must feel very good knowing that Louie had such immediate customer service there.
Well, Louie, thank you so much. You know, we appreciate it. And, you know, that is our goal. So it's good to hear we're not perfect, but we do very well. I'm very proud of our staff.
I want to
the fact that they do prioritize that. One more thing, though, if you don't mind, Kate, I just want to mention, you want to call your state legislator, Louie, not your congressman. It's the state legislators that make that decision of whether or not they're going to come back in the special session. But thank you, Louie. I think it is important. A letter to the editor would be good. A call and just say that don't sit on that money. He's got it exactly right, Kate.
We have less than a minute left, but I just want to turn our attention to Thursday's virtual public hearing, to gather input on proposed changes to the definition of active duty and guidance on military pay. Can you explain what's at issue here in this rule change?
Sure, absolutely. Thanks for asking, Kate. It's something that, you know, General Paul Knapp, the head of the National Guard, worked very closely with Governor Evers on, something we've been trying to do for decades. And, you know, which is to exempt active duty military pay from taxation. And this is something that people may not realize. It actually will help our workforce. But the goal is oftentimes people in active duty, when they're sent to Fort Bragg or other forts around the country for active duty, they would give up their Wisconsin citizenship while they're in the military to avoid, you know, having to pay income taxes to the state of Wisconsin since they weren't actually living here. And our goal is to say, let's salute the men and women in uniform. Let's not have them pay taxes while they're in active duty. But then secondly, let's make sure they keep their Wisconsin citizenship then and move back here after they've completed their military service. So that's the goal. It was passed as part of the budget process. And this rule is implementing what was passed by the legislature at the request of Governor Evers and Secretary Paul Knapp.
Secretary Barka, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's great to be on your show. It's wonderful to see people calling in from all over the state. And thanks for the opportunity.
Take care. Peter Barka, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.